prepare for that. But I was glad to hear what everyone had to share. And we covered some good territory. Had some good discussion. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 6. The Apostle Paul is writing most likely his last epistle. He has labored for over 30 years. He has done a great work. He has suffered much. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." I wonder how it would feel to be in that position. Someday we're all going to be in that position if the Lord tarries. The question is whether we can continue. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Have you ever thought about using this as a soul-winning text? It's an excellent soul-winning text. There's a three-point outline given you right there. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, the conclusion is, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Now the question would arise, is this crown of righteousness a salvation issue? A lot of people would say, oh, this has to do with just rewards and so forth. Notice it says, the Lord, the righteous judge, should give me at that day. This is not a playing favorites or partiality. This has to do with what is just. The just judge is going to crown this man with the crown of righteousness. In Mark 8:34 it says, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him," and there's another little three-point outline, "let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Those coincide. Deny himself has to do with fighting a good fight. It's along the same vein. Take up his cross has to do with finishing his course. And follow me has to do with keeping the faith. If you highlight the word me, follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. This is not just a matter of gaining rewards. This is a matter of losing or saving your life, your ultimate eternal soul. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his what? His soul. How do you not lose your soul? By losing your life for his sake in the gospels. Isn't that what it means when it says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith? Amen. He lost his life for Christ's sake and the gospel's sake. And Jesus makes it very clear, yes, this is a salvation issue. This is not just a matter of, oh, we're all going to get there, but you're probably going to get some really good rewards. Well, there is going to be levels of rewards. But this is the bottom level. This is going to heaven 101. This is salvation 101 right here. And that is, you've got to lose your life for His sake and the Gospels. James 1:12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." In other words, he's fought a good fight. He's finished his course and he's kept the faith. That's what it means. He endured temptation. "For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Jesus said, or Paul said, "Not to me only, but unto also all them also that love his appearing." We're on the same topic here, okay? This man's going to receive the crown of life. Well, is that a different crown? No, it's the same crown. When you are crowned with righteousness, You receive the crown of eternal life. We're going to see that this crown is called by many different names. It's all talking about the same thing. How many heads do you happen to have? How many crowns can you wear? In Luke 19:14, it says, "But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, 'We will not have this man to reign over us.'" Well, that's what the world's response to Jesus is. The other response is, we love his appearing. We want him to reign over us. We have lost our very life for his sake in the Gospels. And in doing so, we have denied ourselves, taken up our cross, and we have followed him. These are salvation issues. 1 Peter 5:4, "And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye," talking to the elders, "ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." Crown of glory, crown of life, crown of righteousness. In Romans 8:30 it says, "Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also glorified," or justified, "and whom he justified, them he also glorified." God has predetermined that if you fight a good fight, and you finish your course, and you keep the faith, that you will be glorified with the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be crowned with the crown that says, "I have counted your faith to you for righteousness." You get the crown that says you're righteous. That same crown is a glorious crown. That same crown means you have eternal life. You're crowned with life. You're crowned with glory. You're crowned with God's stamp of justification, righteousness. God has counted you righteous and found you righteous. Revelation 2:10, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, and you shall be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Fight a good fight, finish your course, keep the faith, and you will receive eternal life. You will be crowned with eternal life. Revelation 2:7, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life." In Revelation 2:11, "He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." Revelation 2:17, "He that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna." Revelation 2:26, "He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end." That means what? I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. To him will I give power over the nations. Revelation 3:5, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment." That's a crown of righteousness. "And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life." That's a crown of life. "And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." That's a crown of glory. Revelation 3:12, "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God." Revelation 3:21, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne." There's glory. There's salvation. There's life. Revelation 21:7, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Revelation 3:11, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Which one? The one. The one. The crown. Crown with victory, eternal life, righteousness, glory, salvation. You're going to get a crown. That means you are going to be rewarded. You have finished your course. You've fought a good fight. You've kept the faith. The Apostle Paul often uses terms that have to do with military service or Olympic feats. And these words in the Greek here, "I fought a good fight," is similar to where he says in 1 Corinthians 9 there about fighting. "I have wrestled a good wrestle," is another way that Greek word could be translated. Now, how do we obtain this crown? What did Paul say? This crown is also called the inheritance. In Acts 26:18, the commission to Paul was to open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Colossians 1:2, "Giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet," or fit, "to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Colossians 3:24, "Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance." It's all talking about the same thing, folks. Hebrews 10:35, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Now, how did Paul say he was going to obtain this crown? What did he do to obtain this crown? Let's look at it a little closer. He said, first of all, I fought a good fight. What does that mean? That means there is a fight. You must fight all the way to the end. But you know what I found? I found most people are fighting the wrong fight. We're not talking about the fight that's in James 4. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come in hence, even of your lust that war in your members. Ye kill and have, you know, and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, ye have not because ye ask not. And when you ask amiss, that ye may consume it on your lust. Fighting. That's not the good fight. That's not the fight we're talking about. We're not talking about fighting with your husband and your wife, your brothers and your sisters. Fighting for your rights. Jesus said, whosoever shall save his life. That's what that fight's about.
Right.
Fighting to save my life. Fighting for my opinion. Fighting for my name. Fighting for my gain. That's the wrong fight. That's fighting to save your life. And when you fight that fight, you're going to lose your life. That's the wrong fight. Fighting for your viewpoint, your way, your opinion, your image, your popularity, your ego. Fighting to keep up with the Joneses or the Yoders or the Hostetlers. Fighting over nitpicking, crybaby, titty party, thumb-sucking nonsense that distracts from the real fight. How often does Satan get in and do major destruction while his God's people are bickering and fighting over things that aren't the real fight? The devil keeps some folks so distracted fighting over silly, selfish nonsense that you don't even know who the enemy really is or where the battle is. Some people want to avoid the real fight so they can focus on fighting over what they enjoy fighting over. How many fights did you have this last week that was the real fight? Fighting for acceptance and love and appreciation is a wrong fight. You can't demand love. You have to earn it. You know the best way to get love and admiration and respect is to get focused on fighting God's fight. Forget about love and acceptance and respect and all that kind of stuff. Get focused on fighting the fight you're supposed to fight. Those things are a byproduct. You find a wife who's always, upset because she's not getting enough attention. That's not going to get her any attention. It's not going to get her the right kind of attention. But if that wife gets busy fighting the good fight, fighting to be what she ought to be before God, doing what she ought to do, and just focuses on that, that love and attention and respect and honor is going to find its way to her.
Amen.
Same with you husbands. I don't get no respect. You're fighting the wrong fight. Oh, the friends, the people at school don't like me. So? Hey, when I went to school, I went to a public school of 3,000 students, and I carried my Bible and began witnessing, and you know what? Nobody liked me. But you know what? By the time the year was over, I had a few friends that really respected me, and they were true friends. You're not going to have a bunch of friends in life. You'll find out that through life, if you focus on fighting the good fight of faith, doing what you're supposed to do, you will attract some genuine friends, but they won't be multitudes of them. When you fight the good fight, when you focus on doing and being what I'm supposed to be, you've got a cause other than your own happiness. You've got a cause that is bigger than you, that lifts you out of yourself, helps you forget about yourself, and helps you accomplish something that makes people stand by and have some respect and honor. It draws love to you. It makes people give you true appreciation and honor. But when you're demanding it and whining about it and upset and so forth because you're not getting what you're wanting, you're fighting the wrong fight. The real fight has to do with your death, burial, and resurrection into newness of life. Your real fight has to do with denying yourself, taking up your cross, and following Jesus. The real fight has to do with keeping your body, bringing your body into subjection. The Apostle Paul says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." One incorruptible crown. There's not, you know, you're not going to have a collection of them. It's talking about all the same stuff here. An incorruptible crown that we are looking for. It's a crown of glory. It's a crown of life. It's a crown of righteousness. He says, so run that ye may obtain. Now, let me ask you this. Did Paul just have a harder race and had to run harder than everybody else? So that was for him? And I can just kind of tiddlywink along and get by and still get a crown? You know, I won't get a Paul-type crown. I'll just, you know. Is that the way it's going to work? I think Paul said here, and he said, I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. And that's what everybody else has to do too.
Right.
He says here, I therefore so run. Not as uncertainly, so fight I. Not as one that beateth the air. But, in other words, beating the air, is that the right fight? That's the wrong fight. He said, I'm fighting, but you know what? You can be fighting real hard and be beating the air. You can be fighting real hard and you're in the wrong battleground. You're fighting the wrong fight. He said, but I keep under my body. Is that what it's all about? Is that the crux of the battle? That's the big part of it. And bring it into subjection. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The main battle is conquering me. The main battle is not all those people at church and all those people in town and all those people at work. The main battle is right here. You want to know who your number one enemy is? Look in the mirror. That's the person you look at in the mirror is the only person that can keep you from finishing your course.
That's right.
There is no other person on earth who can keep you from finishing your course but the one you look at in the mirror. The devil gets far more credit than he deserves. People want to blame the devil. Oh, it's the devil. Well, you know, I think that the devil gets a lot of help. Don't blame it on the devil. Don't blame it on your neighbor. There's a lot of things that happen that people want to blame on the devil, and I'm thinking, but you did it. Where'd the devil come in here? You did it. You chose it. You did it. The devil didn't do it. There is a fight you must fight. The question is, what are you fighting for? You know, in Matthew 27:24, we find Pilate. And it says, when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but rather that a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Now, Pilate surrendered to avoid a fight and find peace. Pilate surrendered his position. He was there. He had a responsibility. He had a duty. He knew what he ought to do. He surrendered in that fight to find peace. Now, some people interpret this as wisdom. Just like the high priest, it is expedient that one man die for the nation. The whole nation perish not. Some people interpret this peace as a declaration of God's will. We had peace about it. There's been people who've been in the ministry or in a biblical church and you know, there's a warfare going on and all of a sudden they go AWOL. They run away and take off the head covering and, oh, we found such peace. Yeah, that's mostly when you go AWOL and go run away and get out of the battle. There's peace there, yeah, but is that, what kind of peace is that? God sees it as a betraying of your trust. God sees it as bowing to the devil. God sees it as sacrificing truth to preserve your life. What else did Paul say? Fighting a good fight is not enough. He said, I've finished my course. What does that mean? It means I've completed God's will for my life. If you're fighting a good fight, but you're not completing God's will for your life, a lot of that fight is wasted. A lot of that fight is on something else. And we're not talking about, I've completed my course, I've been a good Mennonite. I've been a good Baptist. Or I've been a good Catholic for many years. Is that what we're talking about? No, that's not what we're talking about. I've been successful in the eyes of my peers. I've fulfilled the American dream. I've reached all my goals and dreams. I've had a good life. I've climbed the ladder of success. Is that what Paul was talking about? The thing is this. We're talking about your part in God's kingdom. Okay? Finishing your part in God's kingdom. What has God called you to do? What is God's will for you? What is your place? 1 Peter 2:5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That's your course. You're part of that. You're a lively stone in the kingdom of God, in the temple of God. And the question is, are you doing what that lively stone is called to do? Is that what your fight is all about? Are you fighting to be a lively stone and to finish this course? You may be fighting the wrong battle. Ephesians 2:18, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. This is a illustration, a picture of the church. A place where all the lively stones are come together. We build a spiritual temple where God can dwell among us. We can be the habitation of God through the Spirit. And we can offer up sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That's your course. Is that what you're fighting for? Are you finishing that course? Are you fulfilling the call of God on your life? There's some people who fight a good fight for a while, then they get their feelings hurt and give up. Or they fight a good fight for a while and they fall and destroy their testimony. Been dabbling in the world, been looking to see what the world had to offer on the other side of the fence too much. Fell over. They fight a good fight for a while, then take the easy road. Enjoy the peace. Fight a good fight for a while, then go off on some personal vendetta. That's not finishing your course. Luke 22:31, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt deny thrice that thou knowest me. Satan wanted all of them, so he targets Peter. That's why he said, strengthen your brethren when you get back up. Strengthen your brethren. The devil's after all of them. But the devil targets key figures. Every one of you is a key figure in your part of the temple. Whether you're the daddy, the mama, the big brother, the big sister, a member of Living Faith Christian Fellowship, if the devil wants to attack, he's going to look for key figures. He's going to look for the one that he can sift as wheat. He said, I prayed for you, your faith fail not. Satan is a traitor. Satan didn't finish his course. Satan thinks that everybody else is like that too, and he wants to prove it. He wants to show, you make him look bad, and he wants to see what you're made of. He wants to see if he can make you just like him. There are things that lead to failure, you know. Oftentimes parents and pastors can see issues in someone's life that makes them think, if that doesn't change, there's going to be wreckage down the road. I can usually tell, who's not going to last. There's usually telltale signs. And it's often pride as seen in your priorities. When trials come, those looking on see how quickly you revert to saving your life instead of taking up your cross. I can usually tell who will be sidetracked. I can usually tell who will join the liberal side of an issue. If push comes to shove, who's going to stand and who's going to save their life? When the going gets tough, who's going to stand and who's going to save their life? I think Peter was a little too confident, had a little too much pride. I've seen people with a disdain for accountability. In Proverbs 14:16, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. Peter was one of those who was a natural leader, but there are dangers inherent in being a natural leader. He was the one that got out of the boat and walked on the water. He was willing to do something different. He was willing to take a risk. But that can work against you. Too willing to test boundaries. Too willing to take a risk. You know, that's the cat that's easiest to trap, is the curious one. The confident one. The one who sneers at warnings. Listen to me this morning. There is a crown. There is a crown to be won. You can finish your course. You don't have to fall. You don't have to be corrupted by corruption. There's corruption everywhere. You don't have to be corrupted by it. There's ungodliness everywhere. You don't have to be corrupted by it. You don't have to be defiled by the defilement of the world. You don't have to be a traitor or a turncoat to your Lord. Your environment and circumstances are not an excuse to quit.
Amen.
Peter didn't quit. Peter finished his course. He could have got his feelings hurt. He could have gone out and sucked his thumb. He could have expected that, well, I'm not going to take the lead anymore. Waiting for all the other disciples to say, oh yeah, we want you to lead. Oh, that kind of garbage. No, God gave him a job to do. God said, when you get back up, strengthen your brethren. He didn't say, when you get back up, go see if you can get their acceptance or approval. He said, go strengthen them. You got something to do. Something bigger than yourself. Something better than yourself. Fighting and finishing is still not enough. Paul said, I've kept the faith. In 2 Timothy 2:1, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. We've covered that, covering fighting a good fight and finishing your course. And he says, and if a man also strive for masteries. Striving for masteries. That means fighting a good fight. It means finishing your course. Yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Well, I've been a missionary for 25 years. Did you keep the faith? Did you keep the faith? Did you tell all the Muslims out there that Allah and Jehovah are the same thing? Did you keep the faith? Oh, I've been a pastor for 40 years. Did you keep the faith? Did you ever find the faith? Did you ever preach the faith? Maybe you fought for your ism. Maybe you were a really good, maybe you went to the Anabaptist Identity Conference and found out that you is one. Did you keep the faith? Did you find the faith? Did you listen to what the Bible says? We don't need a Jehu revival. A Jehu revival will not do. Jehu fought a good fight. He finished the job. He got rid of Baal worship out of the land. Did he keep the faith? He never got back that far.
Right.
He got rid of Baal, but he kept the golden calves. He got back to the old time religion. Just didn't go back far enough in his dating. You can go back to the Reformation. You can go back and check out the Anabaptists. Why don't you go back to the apostles?
Amen.
Why don't you see what the apostles did? Do you study? How are you going to keep the faith if you don't study? I don't care how ancient your error is. It's still error. I don't care how many wonderful things your church has done. Error is still error. I don't care how nice your pastor is. Error is still error. You can fight and you can finish, but you're not going to be crowned unless you strive lawfully. There's a lot of guys that make a touchdown and it doesn't count. You know why? Because he stepped out of bounds. There's a lot of people that finish the race. They may be first, but they don't get the crown. You know why? They stepped out of bounds. Paul obtained a crown of righteousness. In doing so, he had to fight the right fight. He had to finish God's course. You know, when Peter looked back and saw John and said, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus said, what is that to you? Follow thou me. The Apostle Paul not only had to fight a good fight, he not only had to finish his course, he had to stay in bounds. He had to keep the faith. The fight. The course. The faith. Focus on what you are supposed to be focused on. You've got to fight the fight. You've got a course to finish. You've got a faith to keep. You don't have time for all the piddly distractions. You don't have time to entangle yourself with the nonsense of this world. You don't have time to be flirting with the girls or flirting with the boys or keeping up with the Joneses. You don't have time to be trying to secretly gratify your lust or exalt your image or try to demand acceptance and love. You don't have time for all that. There's a fight that's going on. Do you even know what's going on? Do you know which way the bullets are coming from? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Those people who fought the real fight, finished their course, and kept the faith. Says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. First, your sin. The Apostle Paul talks about this great battle he's having. And he says, therefore, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. What about the guy next to you? No. He said, you got it all wrong. My first responsibility is not to judge those around me. My first responsibility is to overcome evil with good.
Amen.
So, instead of analyzing and critiquing and assuming and accusing, while I'm doing that, am I fighting the fight? Am I finishing my course? Am I keeping the faith in my own life? Or is that a distraction? First of all, your sin. Second of all, your response to satanic attack. We need to figure out who the enemy is. Get in the real fight. There's a crown. It's a crown of life. eternal life. There's a crown of glory, eternal glory. There's a crown of righteousness that the righteous judge someday is going to give to somebody. Only those who have fought a good fight. Fighting that good fight caused them to finish their course and keep the faith. And if that's not what your fight is all about, you better wake up. You better wake up. If the fight of life in your life right now, if all that's upsetting you and all that you're dealing with and everything that's on your plate and on your... If it's not fighting the fight, keeping the faith, finishing your course, you're in the wrong fight. Let's stand together. Every head bowed and every eye closed. In a church, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but there are vessels of wood and earth, Paul said. But he also said, if a man purge himself from these things, he should be a vessel unto honor, meet for the master's use. There is a war going on. We need to rise above the piddly nonsense that distracts us from the real fight so much of the time. Oh yes, we have children to raise and they need to be raised, but raising them with the mind of Christ is a part of fighting the fight, finishing the course, and keeping the faith. And if you're raising your children for any other reason, I mean, if raising your children has to do with making sure they're the most popular, or making sure that they're right even when they're wrong, or covering for them, or whatever the case may be, there's something wrong there. You're not fighting the right fight.
Right.
If we're competing with one another, who's the greatest family? Who's the greatest among us? We're fighting the wrong fight. While the devil is putting ladders up to the walls and digging under the walls and entrenching against us, we're inside bickering over which one of us is the greatest. And we're all about to get slaughtered. That's happened in real history too many times. When the Mohammedans were planning to destroy Europe, the Europeans were sitting around bickering about how Jesus and the Father and the Holy Ghost are related instead of realizing that they were in grave danger. May God help us. There is a crown. There is a crown. It's not guaranteed. It doesn't have your name on it yet. There's no guarantee that you'll get it. And if you don't get it, you're in big trouble. You have no choice but to fight and finish and keep. There's no other choice unless you want judgment, unless you want to face God's wrath. I want you to recommit this morning. It's time to re-enlist. Amen?
Yeah.
Let's get in the real fight. Let's figure out what our course is. What does God want me to do? What is God's will for my life? It's not to go around and find out how popular I can be. Find out what God's will is for your life. What has God called you to do and get to doing it? Find out what the faith is. What is the faith? Are you keeping the faith? Do you know what the faith is? It's your crown that's at stake. I can't win your crown. You can't win my crown. It's an individual thing. It's individual and yet God has called us all to be a part of a body, a holy temple. That's part of our individual calling. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.